Everybody, this is Julian Joiello here with The Positive Mind, here on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life.
I love that. I really do.
You like having a positive mind.
Yeah, and I like ideas, concepts, and guests. And I love our listeners. Thank you to all of our listeners out there. Loyal listeners who are tuning in day after day in your homes, in your cars, on your computers.
It's amazing getting calls from everybody. Just like yesterday when we got calls from Wendy and Bob and everybody. Just it was great. And time I'm amazed how many unique kind of people are listening to this show. I mean, it's just like sometimes you forget when you're in this little studio.
A wide spectrum.
And not only do I love receiving the phone calls, but I absolutely love when we get emails, when we get correspondence from our listeners. You know, just yesterday we heard from Joseph, we heard from Seth. So thanks to those of you who correspond with us via
send
email.
Us emails at positivemind@wbai.org. We don't say that email enough, positivemind@wbai.org. We love getting those emails. And when we do, it's really great to hear from our listeners in that kind of way. So yesterday we were talking about sort of the fragile mind and sort of blaming the people around you, these people that blame themselves, blame the people around them, sort of live in this place that's not quite as healthy as what we talked about last week.
Right.
Exactly. And we kind of summarized it or got it down to the idea of being out of your mind.
Right.
And we found that blamers, and most people who are around blamers and see a blamer in action, realize that something's not right here. This person is not really in their mind.
Right. We were saying yesterday, you know, as an example, the person who's in 10 different relationships and all of the girls have the same problem, or the men have the same problem.
Patterns.
Maybe there's something going on in you and maybe not those 10 people.
Right. Maybe there's a common thread there and the thread is not external. Just maybe. We want to delve more into today the manifestations of the so-called fragile mind. We want to get into how that becomes expressed and in terms of behaviors, belief systems about ourselves,
right,
and compulsions and even addictions.
And what we do when it comes to that moment when we feel really out of our mind, what we do.
Yes, and you know, if you're going to listen to this clip coming up, you're going to find out Armand finally answers the question, why do people become addicts? And why do people drink? If you're always kind of wondering if you're living with an alcoholic and looking and trying to find the reasons, here's the reason. You're going to get it today.
Yeah, actually, we want to bring you early on in our program, before we move forward with this subject, we want to bring you some Armand, because why not, right? It's just great to have him on here.
So rich.
And we're going to bring you a little bit of Armand from a program called A Fragile Mind.
Everybody has their own continuum of mental stress. Everybody has their own level of it. How crazy can you get? If you ever took steroids, my friends, at a large dosage, you have seen yourself go all the way out on the edge of a kind of an agitation. How crazy is that? How depressed can you be? You get really, really, really depressed. You can't get out of bed. What's your range? How angry can you be? How self-destructive can you be? How addicted can you be? How sensitive can you be? These are different things. I mean, take sensitivity, for example. We think of that as a great mental capacity. It's wonderful to be sensitive, but what if you're too sensitive? What if you're thin-skinned? What if you're so thin-skinned that if somebody looks at you askance? askew. They, you know, you get offended. I just learned, you know where the word goodbye comes from? I get such a kick out of this. Goodbye is a contraction of God be with you. Isn't that nice? You say goodbye to somebody, right? God be with you. Because adieu is the same thing. In French, you say adieu, you say, yeah, to God. Not a bad thing. Your mind. So if you can't concentrate, sometimes your mind can't concentrate because it's just too agitated. Sometimes you're filled with rage. Sometimes you're filled with anger. Sometimes you're suspicious. Sometimes you're jealous. Sometimes you feel like an addict. You just can't control yourself. You eat so much chocolate, or you go shopping, or you're in some kind of a sexual thing. You know, you know, how many guys do I know who are out there who say, I just can't stop myself? When it comes to either, you know, sex or masturbation or something, they're just driven by the compulsion of it. And there are all kinds of addictions. People go out of their mind. Now, is there something good about going out of your mind? Well, you know, sometimes I'd like to lose my mind. Sometimes I see so much. If I walk down the street or if I'm in a social setting and I sit with a group of people who are fairly dysfunctional, as I've done, I remember once I went to a house party where I sat with about 15 people. When I looked at them, they were all each kind of interesting people, but I went and I said, so what do you do around here? It was in a neighborhood. They said, we drink. They said, that's what we do. We drink. All we do is drink. We get together and drink. I hope you drink. Do you drink? We drink. That's their definition of their lives. Okay, let's take it just a step further. There are times that your mind is not in its best place, and there are times that it is in its best place. Now, you could say to yourself, well, when I meditate, I'm in my very best place. That could be. See? But when are you in your best place when you have people around you? There's kind of the test. The test is your mind is its richest and you're connected. Because it's very easy to disconnect and believe you're in your right mind. There are a lot of people who are very private. They live alone. They just close themselves off. And they just run all kinds of funny things in their head. But their mind is running funny. But they're alone, so they can't tell if there's any reality to it. That's why I said people come to see me, because they want to ask me. They want to say to me, what happens when you're alone? Now, I want to take this one more step, and we're going to take your calls today. There's another step about this, which is the desire to go crazy. The desire to not be thinking. Many suicides, a lot of people attempt suicide or talk about suicide. They do it because they can't stand being who they are. They want to shut off their mind. And they really want to just stop thinking. And they can't stop thinking because what they're thinking is so miserable. They're so unhappy. And they just wish they could end it. It's not that they want to kill themselves. It's just that they want to end their thinking. You know, little wonder that people do things to their head or take drugs or do stuff. Just, I got to stop my mind. My mind is driving me crazy. I'm so unhappy. And people like that very often turn towards the thought of suicide because they say, I just want to stop. But it's not that they want to end living. They just want to stop thinking. They'd love to go insane. They'd love to go out of their mind. And just to prove the point, that's why people drink. Why do you think people get drunk? People get drunk because they want to go out of their mind. People do a lot of drugs because they want to go out of their mind. People do cocaine because they want to escape their minds. See, it's an escape. People get involved in all kinds of addictions to get away from their mind. Now, get this. People even fall in love to get out of their mind. They want to focus on somebody else and think about somebody else. And they want their attention on that outside self. The real thing is, can you find your place where you feel your most stable, beautiful, wonderful self as best you can? And then can you recognize your range, how bad you could get, how bad it is, and know where you are on the continuum of your own mental strata? If you can, you really beat the racket here. If you can, then you know. And you know when you talk to one of your friends and your friends say, how are you feeling? You know, I'm a little nervous. I'm a little depressed. I'm a little upset. I'm a little angry. You know it, but you know that it's affecting you in some way. And you try not to blame the outside.
Powerful stuff right there. Why do people drink? Why do people do drugs?
Well, why do you do drugs? Why do you drink? Why do you... I mean, I know I'm one of those people who finds myself enjoying... perhaps I don't do drugs and alcohol as much to escape or anything like that, but relationships, I find myself saying, oh, well, I don't really like... I mean, I'll be alone for a month or two, and then I'm saying, I don't really like this that much.
Yeah, you are. You're a serial monogamist.
I want to get out of this.
Well, hold it. It's a good impulse.
Right. I mean, it's not a horrible
thing. To want to get connected to somebody is a good impulse.
Right.
The question is, are you doing it to the exclusion of really staying with your own mind?
Right. And I remember actually speaking to Armand a couple years ago, and he said, anything you do, as long as you're not doing it to escape your own life, is something that's okay. So yeah, as long as it's something you're not escaping yourself by doing this thing,
right,
you're not running away from what you will always be, which is you, mm-hmm, in your reality. If you're not running away from that reality, it's not quite as dangerous.
So when you go towards a new woman in your life or new relationship, are
right,
you
if I'm
aware, kinda
going
are you
there, kinda
going into it aware of
I'm not trying to
escape my mind,
right.
I just really want to connect with
somebody. In my most recent relationship, which I'm in now, I tried to make sure that I was more comfortable with myself before going into it and really saying, okay, I'm not escaping myself into this other person. I'm actually just saying I feel good with this person and I can also feel good on my own.
Great.
Lovely young lady, by the way. Julian's girlfriend. I've met her. She's a nice person.
She's very sweet. Hopefully we'll have her on one time.
You know, the topic also suggests, you know, the integrity of people who stop drinking. You know, it's such a struggle,
right,
for people to stop taking their drugs and stop doing it. And Armand is kind of saying, look, if you can just hang in there, just bear it. Bear the stopping of the drug and get right with your mind. You know, you're on the right track.
Well,
it's a struggle.
I would add to what he mentions there about drinking or drugging as a means to get out of one's mind. It's also a way to quiet one's mind. Yeah. I've heard a lot of addicts say,
right,
I use because it shuts off the noise in my head.
Right. I mean, we have Robin Williams, who passed away, was it last year, I think?
Almost two years ago.
And we did a show about Robin Williams, and Armand talked a lot about his drug use and how, I remember he said that he was using cocaine, and he said that the cocaine actually slowed him down because it was just his brain was moving so fast. Yeah. He was dealing with all these disorders and this manic brain activity that it would actually like slow him down. That's why he was doing that drug, and it became the way to shut off his mind.
Yeah, well, that's like the effects of Ritalin or Adderall, right? When you give stimulants to someone with ADHD, it balances them out. When it's when someone doesn't have that condition and they take those drugs, then it speeds them up.
And he had such a journey trying to stop Robin Williams. You had to give him a lot of credit for really, really trying to slow
down.
And
he found many great ways to sort of give avenue to that, to his brain movement. You know what I mean? Like put it into this acting, put in these characters, into writing.
Right.
It's
he used it for constructive purpose.
Yeah, but we're talking today on The Positive Mind about being out of your mind and sort of the ways that we deal with that. A lot of the time people try to understimulate their mind because it's too stimulating and it can be overwhelming, especially when you're alone at night, which Armand was mentioning, and I've thought about that a lot too.
Yeah.
It gets especially dangerous when you're just alone by yourself for long periods of time because you don't really get any reality checks from anybody else.
Right, and you're staying up too late. You know, that's a big one.
Right, you're staying up too late. You haven't seen any people to kind of like remind you that, you know, what you're saying is kind of weird or what you're, you know, maybe you should wear some real clothes, you know?
Yeah, word to the wise, try to avoid writing emails or making phone calls or sending text messages after midnight.
Right.
Definitely not after 2 a.m.
There's
too much
generally
potential.
Out of your mind at
yeah,
that
there's
point,
too much so. Potential yeah. for chaos right. in that scenario.
Right. Yeah, but so how do we end up in that kind of place?
I have to say, I mean, I like to drink wine, and I drink wine on Saturday nights. I don't drink during the week.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm aware of it. As soon as I have a sip of wine, I feel... You know, I do feel my mind sort of stretching out and relaxing.
Right.
Now, and I don't go too far with it.
And you're not doing that to escape your life.
Right.
Right?
No, I'm doing it to enrich my life. It's there. It's something we can use responsibly.
You don't pour wine on your Cheerios in the morning, right?
No, and it's obviously I limit it because there's the next day.
I actually had a teacher. His name is escaping me right now, but I had a teacher at NYU, and he was doing a lecture about writing. It was a creative writing class, and he would say, there's this weird power in this half glass of wine. It's like not a glass. It's not two glasses. It's not 10. It's not a bottle. It's just a half glass of wine where you have a couple sips of red wine that kind of pulls you out of the place where you can't get past and get your words out and trust yourself as much.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, as long as you're enriching yourself, it's like there's this kind of sweet spot right there.
It is.
You know, there's ways to do these things in a healthy way, too. But we're saying that when you drink a bottle of wine to escape what you're dealing with 23 and a half hours out of the day, that is not a good thing.
And he also is talking about the spectrum. Get to know your own spectrum. So what do you say about those evening hours when you're by yourself and you're not connected to anybody? You know, those can be enlightening hours. They're a struggle,
can.
You know, without anybody around. But you get to see all of your colors, all of
your changes. Just like when you're in a tumultuous relationship, you learn loads about yourself. I mean, sometimes the most you'll ever learn is in those difficult roller coaster rides of relationships. Or whether it's a relationship with a person or with alcoholism or something like this, you learn all about yourself in these kind of darker times. But at the same time, we also want to be able to pull back and just quiet down the brain in a way that doesn't use any wine and doesn't use any people.
What?
And because, I mean, you know, we can't depend on those people always being there, and we don't want to depend on alcohol always being there.
And what happens when two people drink together? So now you have four minds. Two people with their own minds going out of their minds.
Right.
And so, you know, Armand says, you know, it is being connected to other people is the number one way to grow in your life is being in relationships.
Especially, I like, Julian, how you mentioned being, you know, in challenging, difficult times. I mean, there's that famous MLK quote of the measure of a man is not where he is in moments of comfort and convenience, right? But where how he is in times of challenge and controversy.
Yeah, that's
and,
great.
And, I mean, I think we're talking a little bit here about this phenomenon of being alone at night and how that might relate to the fragile mind. I think that, you know, being disconnected, being isolated, it's much like the concept of the drug or alcohol user who uses to escape that noise in their mind, that pressure in their mind. Right. And I think that becomes much more sort of acute and present when we are alone and isolated because there's nothing distracting from it.
Mm. Right, and then all of a sudden you're faced with just yourself. And there's this formidable presence of you that you have to deal with, which is a rare
and
thing.
All of
you actually
your emotions and all of your fears,
right?
And all of your anxieties and all your loneliness,
and also all your greatness.
Exactly.
There's a lot of beautiful stuff there, too. When you sit there, you say, "Wow, this is me. Wow, I don't get to take a look at myself like this very often."
Yeah. And you don't get to really be yourself in any situation, the way that you fully get to be when you're completely alone. And that's an interesting thing, too.
Mm. Actually, this is a little bit random, but there's a room in, where is it? It's in Minneapolis, and it's the world's quietest room. And it's like super soundproof. Like, if you've ever been into a soundproof studio for recording music, or like our studio here, you know, there's some foam on the walls, and it kind of makes it so the sound from outside doesn't get in, the sound from inside doesn't get out, but you can kind of hear muffled stuff outside if it's loud. And this room in Minneapolis is like scientifically created to make it so silent that your ears adjust to the tiniest of noises. So what happens is there's experiments done on being in this room since it's so quiet.
Mm.
You can't spend more than 45 minutes in this room by yourself.
Wow.
And what happens is your ears adjust downwards so that
You probably hear your own heartbeat.
You start hearing not only your own heartbeat, you start hearing your lungs, your organs moving, your stomach, your bones cracking every time you move. And it's like this kind of thing that kind of gets bigger and bigger and more enveloping. And it's so interesting because it's like isolating ourselves so intensely that you get in this place and then all of a sudden you're left with your organs and your body and your bones, and it's scary.
It totally reminds me of flotation tank, isolation tank. Right, have you ever done that?
No, I haven't, actually.
I had the chance to do it last year.
Yeah.
And it's unbelievable. It's pretty much what you describe. Mm-hmm. It's silent, but it's also completely dark.
Right.
So you're totally deprived of your senses. And that, you know, going back to the concept of noise in the brain and a brain that's hyperactive and feeling the need to calm it down, it's incredible what completely depriving your senses will do in a matter of minutes.
Did you feel yourself going out of your mind? Did you feel yourself wanting to escape and jump out, or how did you?
No, I felt more serene than ever inside of my mind.
Right. I mean, also, you know, this isn't the world's quietest room. I think the world's quietest room got a little bit of danger in there. That's not really for human beings. But this flotation tank, I've heard really great things about.
Yeah, you should give it a try.
Because it ends up, you isolate yourself in a way that you end up dealing with yourself for an hour or two in a way that you just don't do very often.
Yeah, I did it for an hour.
How about that as an option for drinking or drugging? You know, go to an isolation tank.
Right. I have a friend who, after he'll go out to a music festival or something, do a bunch of drugs. He's this kind of guy.
Right.
And then he goes off to the Russian baths. Over in the East Village.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just a giant sauna, essentially. And he just sits there and he sweats it all out and says, okay, you know what? I got to cleanse. I'm not going to do any of this for a month. And there's, you know, value to that too, just letting that heat kind of overtake you. And when you have something else to focus on, which is, I think, why meditation is such a popular thing to say, but it's popular for a reason, because when you focus on your breathing, like you're supposed to in meditation, it's hard to focus on anything else if you continue just focusing on the breathing in, breathing out, listening to the sound of that. It kind of turns into like an ocean wave,
sure,
in a sense.
Sure.
And if you really focus on that, you actually do kind of clear your mind into just hearing the sound of your lungs and hearing the sound of your body. Mm. And it's this grounding thing. I mean, I know it's a little crazy. Clear your mind, make it totally.
Have you ever gotten to that point? I mean, it's really it's challenging for me.
It's very challenging, especially for me, actually. And I had a lot of trouble growing up.
You guys are both sevens.
We're both sevens, so our minds are flying around all the time, nonstop. And there's times when I've been, I wish I was like, you know, not as intelligent, because then it would be easier for me.
Well,
but
ignorance is bliss,
of
right?
Of course. But I mean, at the same time, I know that, you know, this is a valuable part of myself. So instead of that, I mean, I used to do a form of meditation where you actually lie in your back, and you have your legs up on a chair, so you're kind of, your whole lower back and your upper back are on the ground, and then your legs are folded onto a chair in front of you, and it's a very comfortable position, and you stay there for about a half hour, and you sort of do this. And it's like a little ridiculous, you know, obviously.
No,
you hear
it's,
when you're doing it on your own,
I'm imagining your body is shaped like 10:15 on a clock.
Right. It's like a Tetris block a little bit.
Okay.
You know?
It's
like your legs are in a right angle.
Yep.
Right. And it's very comfortable. But I usually fall asleep in this kind of thing. I didn't fall asleep in this position. And instead, I just listen to these ocean waves that your body make, which is amazing because it really does sound a lot like ocean waves. And you just kind of focus on making them equal and keeping them consistent and constantly breathing. And all of a sudden, you stop thinking about anything else. Because my mind, it used to race all the time, meditation. Oh, I'm trying to clear my mind. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to, I don't want to think about anything. And then I start thinking about nothing. And then I think about a room of nothing. And then I think about what I do in that room. And then all of a sudden, I'm not thinking about nothing. I'm thinking about everything.
What is nothing?
Well, I'm glad that you got to this, because we spent the first part of the show talking about how the fragile mind, strategies that a fragile mind uses that might be destructive.
Right.
And now you're talking about meditation, which is a more of a positive way to deal. Kevin, do you have any other positive mechanisms, actions?
Just to echo what you're saying is, you know, to challenge your addiction by breathing, by taking, you know, paying attention to your mind. Challenge your destructive pattern with focusing on your mind, and then getting in touch with the spectrum of emotions that you'd normally go through that would make you lead and run to a drink.
Right. Well, I guess my question is, would you be able to recommend to me or to our listeners some positive alternatives, some constructive alternatives to, you know, escaping that crazy mind?
Yeah. I mean, get connected to people in a real way.
Yeah, I think it's really important if you focus on someone else
Get into a relationship. You want to change, you know, your pattern, your aloneness, your isolation, your addictions. Get into a relationship.
Right, in a healthy way. Just, you don't want to escape yourself, right?
Right? You know, don't pick anybody. Before. But, right. You know, there has to be a transition from the compulsive addictive behavior to engaging with somebody. But take it as a mission. Yeah. I'm going to meet somebody. I'm going to challenge myself and get into a relationship so I can really get to know myself.
Yeah, and it also doesn't even have to be a love relationship. It could just be a friendship of some kind that you sort of make your mission to help
join,
this person.
Join a bowling league.
Or a team of people that you can benefit in some sort of way.
Yeah.
That kind of thinking outside of yourself, not just thinking, how does myself relate to these people? How can I just selflessly do something for these other people? Like we used to say also, just going to volunteer at a homeless shelter or a church or something where you can kind of just give in and just give to other people.
Yeah.
It kind of pulls you out of this this funk where your mind is running in circles and circles and lets you focus on something else.
And be with people where you don't have to be in your mind. Use your mind. So a bowling league would be one. But, an intimate relationship, you know, would be the ideal start.
Absolutely.
So, you're listening to The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM. I'm Ben Starr here in the studio. Kevin O'Donohue, Julian Gioiello. We're here every Tuesday and Wednesday. Today we're talking about the fragile mind and ways that we deal with that, ways that we cope with that, ways that we deal with the noise and the hyperactivity in our brains, both constructive and destructive, because let's face it, we do both. And we'll be taking your calls shortly after the break, so hang on tight until the break when we start playing some music. You can call us at 212-757-5555. And it's great to be here with you guys talking about this, because I think it's a subject that everyone can relate to.
You know, you also made me think, what if you have a hard time with being with other people and connecting to them? And I think, you know, we don't like to do this, but, you know, you can always get a therapist to go in and just have somebody mirror back to you who you are. Beyond your addiction, beyond your compulsion, beyond your ways of escaping your mind, have somebody who can sit with you and be with you and say you're something other than that, too.
You mentioned something about these sort of, there's these techniques to sort of look out of ourselves. And sometimes when you're alone all the time, you don't have anything really to, you look in the mirror, that's still you looking at the mirror at yourself.
Yeah.
And you kind of need somebody else there. Or you mentioned also something of taping yourself speaking and sort of listening back to that and just to hear objectively what's happening there.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I do with clients is I say to them sometimes, I say, if your friend, your best friend was in your position right now, you know, what would you tell them to do? What would you recommend?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's amazing. People wouldn't put their friends through a lot of the things they put themselves through.
Right.
So sometimes I have a client, you know, tape our session and say, okay, you know, I want you to just listen to the session and come in next week and let's talk about anything that strikes you, anything from the hour session that we have. And they'll come in, and I've had people, like yesterday we did this show on blaming. I had people come in and say, you know what? I've been blaming my husband my whole life, my whole marriage. I listened to that tape. It's not my husband. I'm embarrassed.
You know? Wow. You know, my feeling on
that. And it's the first time they've heard themselves, you know, in years.
I've kept on and off over the course of my life. I've kept a journal. Not consistently. I would do it for a few months or a few years, and then I'd stop and then pick it up again a few years later. And I recently found some really old ones from like high school.
Yeah.
And it was amazing, like a time capsule. Amazing seeing how I've changed and grown into the person that I am now. And that, in a way, it's like a recording, a snapshot of an older self.
Right. Journaling's great.
We can learn a lot from ourselves.
Right. That's why it's so exciting when you kind of see that letter from yourself from 5 years ago. Because it's like, this is what I was thinking. And now I can see how ridiculous or how perfect that was. Mm. And it's actually 1:30 p.m. here in New York. on WBAI 99.5 FM. I'm going to play you a little bit of Ben Webster. It never entered my mind. Here we go. We'll be back after the break. Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM, and you're listening to It Never Entered My Mind, a special version by Coleman Hawkins and Ben Webster. And if you're an avid listener to WBAI, or if you just tuned in for the first time, we are a community-supported public radio, and you can donate and become a recurring donation member by going to give the number to WBAI.org. Give to WBAI.org and make a recurring donation, tax-deductible, of course, to WBAI every month, and help support this station, which brings you all kinds of good stuff.
I love that chunky jazz guitar.
Oh, it's great.
It feels so good.
It's great. And luckily, we have to fade this song out because we got plenty of callers waiting to talk today to us. We've got Laura. Laura on the line. Laura, you ready there? Oh.
Oh, no.
We lost her.
Laura, call us back, please. We'd like to hear from you, the listening audience, and Laura specifically. We'd love to hear back. We'd love to hear from callers about your strategies when you feel your mind going to that fragile place. How do you deal, right? How do you deal, whether you have destructive or constructive strategies, how you deal with that and how you
right.
escape or how you get present.
And we talked about exercise as one of the ways also to get present, you know, to counterbalance the craziness in your mind. And for me, it's racquetball.
Racquetball, huh?
Yeah. It's quiet. You know, I mean, of course, the sound of the ball. But, you know, I'm in this zone with other people, another guy. And, you know, without talking. And it's like the bowling thing I mentioned. And I can take out all my stuff. And after it, you know, like I said yesterday, half hour later, I'm in this sane place.
I've never gotten into racquetball.
Oh,
but
you should try it.
I get into that zone mentally with chess. Uh-huh. And Armand was a very good chess player, and he never liked to talk about that on the radio. But he was a very good chess
master. They call it a master.
He was brilliant. I never played anyone who played quite like the style he played in.
Well, you saw him play?
I played against him.
Oh, my.
Yeah, we played lots of matches. But I never beat him.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not the greatest chess player, but I'm not bad either.
Okay.
He had a great style.
So it was calming just being in the chess.
Well, and anytime I play chess, I find that there's a serenity there,
yeah.
Right? There's two people that are engaged in this kind of.
Mm. It uses up all of your thinking processes,
yeah.
So you really can't think about much else other than the person in front of you and the game you're playing.
Right.
Which is, I think, why board games often are such a such an important sort of social building kind of experience.
Gosh, remember. Yeah, remember summers playing board games and the intimacy of that board game with people.
Absolutely. And we've actually got Pam on the line. Pam, you still there?
Hi, I'm here.
Hi, Pam.
Hi. Hi, you guys. Thank you. I've been a long-time listener. I started listening to this station in 1969.
Wow.
I'm a 66-year-old woman, and let me just say that this station has helped me to grow, learn. I feel it's so responsible for so much of who I am and what I have learned from everybody there.
Oh, Pam, we're glad to hear that. And, you know, Pam, next week is the fun drive.
Yes.
So we hope you tune in next week and give us this feedback.
I will be there.
Now, Pam, thank you so much for calling in and letting us know about that. How's today's programming kind of resonating?
Oh, my God. So when you started talking about the subject that you are talking on, I got teared up. I got choked up because I'm struggling so much with my destructive behaviors.
Right.
And I have had addiction problems for a large part of my life. I have an addictive personality, I suppose, is what they say.
And do you reach out to people, Pam, to sort of stabilize you and pull you out of this?
Yes, I do. I do very intermittently anymore speak to someone about my issues.
Great.
And but, you know, I tend to lately be one that isolates, stays in my room or just stays away from people. Mm. I don't go online anymore, which I really don't love that much anyway. And I don't have a lot of friends. But what I'm doing lately, and I know this is so insane, as destructive behaviors are, is I have picked up cigarettes again. And I know that's not a drug, but it is a drug.
Yes, it is a drug. Nicotine's
and
a drug.
It's an addictive behavior. Yeah. I have a lung condition.
Oh, boy.
And here I am in the middle of the night or whenever, when I wake up all the time because I don't sleep well, and I'm going for a cigarette.
Yeah, so you can even see yourself doing this, Pam, and I'm wondering if you can take the next step, take it one step further. You know you're going towards it. You actually almost see your arm reaching for the cigarette pack.
Absolutely.
What is the thought that you have? Is there a thought that you can see and sort of challenge?
Well, the thought is everything that you've been saying is what I guess these sick minds or, you know, out of mind people do. I want to escape my thoughts,
right,
my worries, right, my anxieties, yeah, everything that's bothering me.
And what in your life makes you feel the most grounded when you're doing it, other than, you know, these escapes?
Well, you know, I've been trying to think about that, and what I have thought that helps me the most is when I'm kind of doing things for other people, and when I'm of service, let's say,
mm-hmm,
I kind of take care of elderly people. I'm a retired medical assistant, so I have a little bit of background in that, and I don't have a client right now. But I do work intermittently with a woman, and I don't know.
Well, that sounds like a great remedy. Finding somebody who's in a worse situation than you are can really take you out of it. It sounds like, you know, that got a chuckle from you. Is she in a worse situation than you are?
Yeah. Well, right now it's a lot of family issues, and especially my son, who's not a child. He's a 29-year-old grown man who's in a very hard situation with his own life. And here I am, mommy. Of course, and this is part of me also. I have to try to fix everything.
Yeah.
I have to make everybody better.
Okay, well, Pam, listen, you're giving us a lot of stuff here, and it's really helpful, I'm sure, to the audience. You've given us a great remedy, this volunteering part, and reaching out when you get into that space. I would watch the cigarette stuff and maybe, you know, find a substitute for that. My dad was a big, big smoker, and if I could have had one wish in life, it would have been for him to just leave the cigarettes alone.
I know, it's such an insane thing, but, you know, I'm working hard at it.
Good.
And I don't know. Well, I'm just going to keep listening to my healthy mind, and hopefully I will be nicotine free.
And if it gets any worse for you, Pam, and it sounds like you're managing it to a good degree. But if it gets any worse, give us a call here at the center.
I absolutely
will. You know the number.
Thank you guys and everyone there for so much. I loved Armand. Oh, my God. I just can't say enough.
We'll keep trying to bring him to you through this show. And thank you so much for always listening. And it sounds like you've been listening for the entirety of the show, which is the show's history, which is fantastic. And I'm jealous that you got to have that experience. But thank you so much for calling in, Pam.
Have a rest of the wonderful day.
Thank you.
We will.
Bye-bye.
212-757-5555.
You know, that's a hard one to interrupt, cigarettes, you know. This escape, I mean, so many people are doing it, and how do you, Armand was a big smoker, but how do you get people to stop that? And because, you know, often for cigarettes, it's anger, you know.
Right.
Oh, let me just elevate my mind.
And it comes along with social addictions, you know, patterns that become physically just habitual. The actual smoking of the cigarette, doing it with the friends that also smoke, being part of that group.
You know, for some people,
the addictive chemicals in it, too.
It's a very social thing. It's how I met my first girlfriend, actually.
It's also sometimes the only way people go outside.
Yeah.
You know, it is to have their cigarette. I mean, it's kind of sad, but when it takes over to that degree... You know,
and now in recent years with the sort of the stigmatization of smokers and the laws that have been passed restricting where and when smokers can smoke, there's a sort of camaraderie that smokers have now. They feel this
this
mutual, you know, adversity, right? It's like there's a sort of persecution almost that's happening against smokers, and they're banding together, There's a real camaraderie there.
Yeah,
now.
And that's a danger, too.
Yeah.
You know, drinkers do the same thing. They connect over their drinking and, you know, lapse into what we talked about yesterday, which is blaming things. But
right.
Anyway.
Yeah, we've actually got Jean on the line. Jean, what are you thinking about today when we're talking about?
Well, I was thinking about what the woman just was talking about because I'm a caretaker, and I do a lot of things for a lot of people, but
Thank you.
But recently, maybe about a year ago, I was in therapy, and I'm still in therapy, and my therapist said something about compassion for oneself.
Mm-hmm.
And it resonated with me like, oh my gosh, you know, I feel sorry for this person, that person, and I do come from a background with my mother who had to fix things. If I had a problem, she would want to fix things, but it really stunted my growth. And though I love my parents dearly, I found that you can't fix somebody else's stuff. And it's nice to be kind, but sometimes you have to bring that compassion inward. And so instead of taking up smoking, because, you know, she's probably running in 20 different directions, do something really kind for herself.
Yeah, I mean, when you're a person like Eugene and Pam, where you give constantly and you're taking care of all these other people, you end up getting lost in that so much that sometimes you don't even take a second to look at yourself. And when you do,
absolutely,
it becomes this incredible thing that you've never done and you've never really even considered a possibility. Because, I've been in your place, too, and I spent a lot of my life doing that and taking care. And I do take care of a lot of people, even at a young age, and things, and, you know, friends of mine. And I often find that the best way to take care of them is to sort of be just myself, be a stable person in my own right, and also show them that they can feel what they need to feel, and that's all they really need. You don't have to, you know, sort of try to change them or give them like tons of advice. A lot of the time, just being there and being comfortable with yourself actually is what ends up happening.
And just listening instead of
giving somebody
like, well, you know, it's hard not to do to give somebody a little bit, but sometimes I'll give
somebody
an idea.
Yeah,
but
of course. Throw a little idea.
It's really up to you.
Right,
you know?
Of course. And that's the best way to go about it. And thank you so much for sharing that with us, Jean. That's
okay. Can I just say one more thing?
Yeah, go
There's
for
something
it.
Called EFT. It's a emotional freedom technique.
Right.
And I learned it a few years ago. My daughter got me out to Burning Man, but I mean, it was a funny story, and I won't go into it. But I learned this technique that when and I also do yoga, and I let nothing get in the way of that time slot on Thursday.
Good for you.
And I, as
Good
busy as I am, I will not give that time up. And the emotional freedom technique is just a series of tapping on the body, but it helps release the anxiety, the deep breathing you were talking about, all those things. So as many tools as you can get in your toolbox.
Yeah, I've heard about it. I had never delved into it myself, but that's so interesting.
Like, I listened to him a lot. Yeah. In fact, I got a personalized letter from Armand from something that I wrote to him. And he sent me a CD, but it, unfortunately, it had a glitch in it, so I never got to listen
Which
to
CD
the whole
was that?
Thing. It was about his life and how he started out and who he was. And you know what? I'm not home, so I can't tell you. But anyway,
well, send us an email if we can find a better copy. We'll try to get it out to you if we have it.
Maybe I'll send you what the name of it was.
Yeah, positive mind at WBAI. positivemind@wbai.org is our email. And thank you so much for calling in, Gene. We're going to try to get one or
You're
two
welcome.
More callers today.
Yes. And, go right ahead.
And for sharing with us. I'm going to check out that EFT.
And it's great for smokers, you know. It is a way to interrupt. So if you can interrupt your anxiety, any way you can do it, and in a positive way like EFT, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the way to go.
Thank you so much, Gene.
Yeah, great. Oh, you're welcome. I'm so excited I got on the first time. Bye.
So great bye-bye. Having you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.
212-757-5555 is the number to call. That's 212-757-5555.
Yeah, so interrupting the anxiety, you know, rather than do the thing. And then that's where you get to see your spectrum. You know, anxiety is one of the worst feelings in the world, and people do everything in the world to avoid it. Armand, you know, says that this is the major reason for depression is you can't, you know, depression's an outgrowth of anxiety. Chronic anxiety leads to depression. So the hard part is, how do I manage it? How do I not surrender to it and go for a fix?
And it's hard, right? Because a certain level of anxiety is totally healthy and appropriate, right?
Yeah. You know,
I mean, if I said I have absolutely no anxiety about my future, my survival, my growth, my progress, I mean, that's a scary thing. I should at least have, you know, a total lack of anxiety, I think, reveals a lack of concern, which is also a problem.
Right. I mean, there's the extremes on both sides of things. There's the hyper nervous manic anxiety, and then there's the lack of feeling entirely.
The total lack of lackadaisical.
You know what I mean?
But depression's not always that low energy, right? You were explaining to me, Kevin, there's...
Right, well, that's the manic depression
the bipolar
that we were talking about before.
Sort. You know, some people are unipolar and just have their depression. But if you're bipolar and you have your mania and your depression, the mania is the upside. It feels like a relief. You know, you feel powerful and strong and expansive when you're in your mania. And you feel goal-directed and competent.
Let's get some more callers in. We have Anthony on the line. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon. I listen to you all the while, but you know, it's like say mine is like I always say it's a terrible thing to waste when you waste the time, like wasting time doing something that is not positive.
Right. Right.
You know,
so how do you do like, what kind of things do you do to be positive and not waste time?
Well, I like to if I'm around my friends, I like to help if they're doing something I'm standing there, I could give a hand and
okay.
No.
Uh huh.
Stuff like that. I do construction, so.
Do you let them help you?
Go ahead.
Do you let your friends help you? Is there any way that they can give you a hand?
Well, I don't. Well, yes, if so be the case, but no, sometimes I like, in a way, you be around your friends and stuff like that. And,
Well, listen. Well, Anthony, thank you for calling. This is, again,
another way.
To use your mind and yourself constructively is reaching out and helping other people.
Yeah, sure do. Sure do, definitely.
Just
it's
watch
like it feel more, they feel appreciated you help them to do.
Just watch out, just watch out, Anthony, that you're not doing it just for other people and not getting anything for yourself, you know.
Definitely.
You could be this chronic giver.
It come in both ways, though.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's great.
Well, it's like Gene said, sometimes it's good to care for others, but allow yourself to receive that help as well and be nice to yourself.
Definitely. As I say in the Bible, where I'm a Christian, say God help those who help themselves, but try to do what you can do for others at the same time. So.
Right, and a lot of the time when you're helping, make sure that you are a stable human being who's compassionate and kind. That kind of just ends up going out to the people that you care about in a lot of great ways. But thank you so much for calling in, Anthony. We're going to try to get one more call today. And
okay,
thanks for being part of this.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Anthony. I like that. I like that. Being connected to others, that's how Anthony stays positive and stays constructive, which is something we discussed last week as one of the three sort of hallmarks of the healthy mind, right, was connection to others.
Right.
And that's one strategy that Anthony's used to keep positive.
Gosh, he sounds like a guy who doesn't have any anxiety. Did you hear any anxiety in his voice?
Oh, he sounds very grounded.
Yeah.
Very grounded. 212-757-5555. We'd love to get one more call before the end of our program today. If you're on the other line and it's busy or holding, call back, hang up, and call 212-757-5555. Let's get one more. Thank you so much to Pam, Gene, and Anthony for calling today and sharing with us on this really poignant topic.
So also, just to remind, knowing your range is the other one, Ben. Like being connected to other people, Armand said we talked about in a healthy mind, but now today he's talking about the spectrum of your anxiety, the spectrum of your craziness. But last week we talked about
the spectrum
of your emotions.
Right. Yeah, that's important. I mean, look, there is a wide spectrum of emotion, and being able to feel across that spectrum is important to be in touch with reality, in touch with our own lives and experiences.
And getting out of your mind is really getting out of your emotions, stopping your emotions. I can't handle what happens when I have an emotion.
Let's take one last caller. Sure. We have Julie on the line. Thank you so much for calling in. Julie?
Hello.
Hey there, Julie. We just had you. You there?
I guess we lost her.
We lost hello, Julie hello? And Laura today.
Oh.
So, and then the last one
Julie.
Yeah, the last one we said was being real. And being connected, being real, and knowing your spectrum of emotions.
Right.
So the healthy mind. And when you're out of your mind, when you feel that spectrum is way beyond your grasp and way beyond controlling, you know, we were suggesting there are things you can do.
And for our listeners who missed those shows last week, you can always get recordings of older programs on our website, positivemind.com. And I'm sorry, thepositivemind.com. Right, Julian? Thepositivemind.com.
Thepositivemind.com is our archive. Positivemind@wbai.org is our email. And we just got Julie back, actually.
Oh,
Julie,
great.
You there?
Hi, yes. How
Yay.
Are you?
Yay. Hey, we're doing
Julie.
Great.
Hey, Julie.
Good. What I wanted, there's so many things I wanted to comment about.
Sure.
Really good program. I don't necessarily have anxiety. I'm more of the caretaker person.
Sure.
But it's troublesome when you have so much going on that you lose sleep. And that recently happened to me.
Right. And that can kind of put you into a different crazy kind of space, because just the lack of sleep gives you that no break to
yes.
all of what's happening. And if you're somebody that's got so much going on in your mind all the time, not having sleep is like a really crazy thing to happen to you,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
But
it is.
So
it
what
is.
Happen? It's, what happens to you when you don't have the sleep?
Well, I don't get that much sleep in general. I only get 5 hours sleep. I just don't get sleep beyond 5 hours. But I think it puts you in a really ungrounded, spacey mm-hmm. state of mind. You know, and I'm an outdoorsy person, so I find myself really having to do that more than I even normally do.
Finding yourself needing to do what more?
Connecting with nature.
Is that what you're...
Yeah.
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 What's interesting, too, is when you don't get that much sleep, what's happening is you're actually kind of in between falling asleep and waking up more often during the day when you're doing normal things. So you end up being in that kind of dreamy, disconnected space that you are when you wake up in the morning after a normal night of sleep. But that kind
yeah.
of lasts a couple hours, and both at night, too, it lasts a couple hours before you're going to bed. And I can imagine that must be weird, because your mind ends up being in a more disconnected, unaware kind of place. And I bet the outdoors part at least helps you a lot. I mean, ground you, you know, literally just maybe lying in the grass or feeling what's going on there. It's so valuable to kind of bringing you back down to earth out of that that sky-high kind of dreamy place.
Julie, when's the last time you slept under the stars?
Oh, that's a good one. Probably a few years. I work a lot with animals, so I do a lot of rescue work. So I'm outside a lot. I'm very aware of the outside, the seasons. You know, I'm very connected to that.
Where do you live, by the way, if you don't mind me asking?
I live by the shore.
Oh, lucky you.
Close.
Lucky you. Well, listen, Julie, we'd love to continue this conversation. if you want to stay on the line, but we're going off the air right now. We're running up against the end of our program. So that's up to you if you want to hold or not, but I want to thank you for calling in and thank our listeners for tuning in and all of our other callers, Pam, Jean, Anthony, and Laura, even though we didn't get to speak with you. And thank you, Julian and Kevin, as always, for being here and doing the show. Thanks to everyone involved on every level. We love you all. We'll be back same time next week, Tuesday at 1 p.m. here on 99.5 FM WBAI.
Yes, and make sure to check out our archives on thepositivemind.com. Send us an email at positivemind@wbai.org or check us out on Twitter. We're on Twitter.
Yeah, we are on Twitter, at BZH718 and at Julian G.
Yeah, and thank you so much, Julie, for calling in. And we've got Judy Garland singing here. Take a listen.
You go to my head like a sip of sparkling burgundy brew, and I find the very mention of you like the kicker in a julep or two. The thrill of the thought that you might give a thought to my plea casts a spell over me. So I say to myself, get a hold of yourself. Can't you see that it never can be? You go to my head with, and I forgot the goddamn words. Where's the honey sympathies you have found? Are you intoxicate my soul with your eyes? That this heart of mine hasn't a ghost of a chance in this crazy romance. You go to my head. You go to my head. The thought that you might give a thought to my plea cast a spell over me. Rise like a summer with a thousand Julys. You intoxicate my soul with your eyes. Though I'm certain that this heart of mine hasn't a ghost of a chance in this crowd.